You and just say, I want you to remember, God likes you. God likes you. God likes you. Okay? And I want to remind you that it's not like somebody who may or may not know everything about you saying that. I hope you can perceive that what I'm telling you to say is actually, in a sense, a nutshell of what the Scriptures reveal about God's attitude towards us. He sees it all. He sees it all. Right? You know, we have a certain impression of ourselves. I'm doing okay in this. I'm not doing so okay in that. We have impressions about what we've accomplished. But God sees it all. He sees why you are where you are, what you said no to Him in, and that's why you're stuck where you are and you don't see it. He sees all the places where other people don't know the kinds of things that you say to yourself, about yourself, the terrible thoughts that you might hold about you or somebody else. He sees it all. And because of the blood of Jesus, yeah, it is absolutely our right to say and to remind one another, God really likes you. In fact, I would challenge you to say that to somebody who is not a Christian, because it's true. God just likes you. He has no problem with you. He has no problem with you. He so likes you that He gave His Son for you. I don't know how far your conversation could go, but you're not wrong to say God likes you. Remember, we are in the time of grace. This is not the time of judgment. Okay, there is coming a time when judgment is coming, but we're not in that time now. We're in this time where, because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, God wants everyone to be saved. He loves them. And by saved, I don't just mean He wants to change their destination from hell to heaven. That's for sure. And that is the most precious thing, if you can put it that way, the most essential thing. But salvation is much more than just your destination. If anything, it is like your destination reaches back into time and affects you today. If you're going to become a better person, and all that that means, it's because of salvation. That's God's design. If you're going to become a person who stands fast in the things of God, it's going to be because of salvation, right? So we do well to remind one another, God likes you. He really does. He has no problem with you. It's just an astonishing thing. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Romans chapter 5 says. It's the word of the Lord. That's just an appetizer. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. You who God likes, and you who have come to the Lord and have given yourself to Him, you who have taken refuge under His wings. How many different ways does the Scripture say? You who recognize that Jesus died for you, and by faith you took it for yourself, that He paid your price. You are now a son, a daughter of the living God. And more than this, you are now a servant of the living God. It is our absolute privilege to be involved with what God is doing on the earth. And it is your privilege to have a part in that. What an extraordinary thing. Now, part of what we are, what we represent, is hated by our adversary, the devil. Okay? We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about putting on the armor of God. And I'm continuing, this is going to be my last message, I think, in this little mini-series, Stand Firm. Stand Firm. Okay, I say all of this because I want you to have in your mind, you are the servant of God, you have things to accomplish, God wants to do things in you and through you that nobody else will be able to do on the earth. You have a purpose, but you are hated. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just unfold. Just because God is the living God who reigns over all things does not mean that what God wants to do in your life and through your life just will automatically happen. You must distance yourself from any kind of idea of fatalism, or if that word scares you, of fate. What will be, will be. We are not the disciples of Doris Day. Keep remembering, not everybody knows what I'm talking about. There was a song a long time ago, what will be, will be. She's saying, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. This is not the word of the Lord. Okay? Do not accept it. Do not accept for yourself, well, whatever God wants will just happen. No. You need to come to grips with this. There are things that God has prescribed that He wants to accomplish, but requires your participation. And that is, I have to be careful here. Just to make my point in the message, I'll put it this way, but it's actually not correct. The fact that God requires our participation is the weak link in salvation unfolding. But let me now automatically correct myself. God is wise. There's no flaw in his design that you would be involved with salvation. Okay? So I often have to find myself, especially when I'm looking at stuff that I don't know how to fix, like, why did you choose me? Like, I only mess things up. And we have to remember, actually, God is wise. He's not foolish. He didn't make a mistake. He has not made a mistake in requiring that you believe. Faith really is the best way. Our participation in the unfolding of the will of God really is the very best way, because God makes no mistakes. Okay, so I often have to remind myself, no, actually, even though it looks so hard to try and receive something by faith, it's actually the best way. Because otherwise God would have a better way. He had to give me something else. So, with that said, I do want to emphasize, our participation is essential. The scriptures reveal that God desires all people to be saved. So we know what his heart is. And yet we know also that not all people will be saved. Why? Because he wants them to say yes. So this saying yes is a critical thing. And because it's so critical, this is where our adversary, the devil, works. Okay? There's not a thing the devil can do to God. Okay? I remind you, in case you need it, the opposite of the devil is not Jesus. The opposite of the devil is not God. The opposite of the devil is Michael or Gabriel. There is no contest between God and the devil. There just isn't. To even think of it in those contexts is foolish. God is above all. You know, this universe that we live in, this creation we live in, is vast beyond our able to comprehend it. And God is beyond it. The devil lives inside creation. God is beyond it. There is no match for the living God. Okay? So the devil can't do anything to God. But he can come after us. And that's what we're going to consider today. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, okay, and remind you, Ephesians, if you want a summary of Ephesians, it's, how do Watchman Nee put it? Sit, walk, stand. Okay? We are first seated in everything that Jesus has done. Therefore, okay, the first three chapters of Ephesians has no command in it. No instruction. Do this. Do that. Nothing. The first three chapters are all about, first two chapters for sure, I have to double check with the third, even the third chapter is all about what God has done for you. Right? We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So watch me summarize that as, you've been seated in him. That's where we start. And because we've been seated in him, behave like this. Here's how you walk. And then it comes to this place, so you need to stand. Okay, and that's what we're about to read here in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, to bring everything together, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, that is, all that he's just said before about needing to stand firm, with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. My emphasis today is not so much what he finishes with, you know, pray for me so that I can speak in a certain way. That matters, right? We're called to proclaim the word of God with boldness. And there are places in Scripture where the servants of God, our ancestors, if you'd like, they were facing violence against them for speaking the gospel. And their reaction is, okay, Father, you heard their threats, so give us more boldness, that we might speak even more boldly. And because they spoke boldly, powerful things happened. Okay? So they weren't intimidated. But it also illustrates how the devil seeks to work. Okay? So what I'm really after is why he says all this stuff. Okay? Here you are, blessed with every spiritual blessing, given instruction how to walk. And then he says, finally, and it's important to understand that finally is not, hey, one more thing. You know, I'm running out of things to say. Oh, you know what? Here, just hear me on this. The idea of finally there is, okay, you need this to make everything else work. You need this, what I'm about to say, to make everything else work. And that's really what I want to get across to you. Here you are, nice, pleasant Christians, wanting the will of God. Are you aware that every moment of your life, you are hated? Both for the fact that God loves you, and for the fact that you escaped his clutches, and for the fact that God can do miraculous things through you. You are hated. He talks here about our struggle not being against flesh and blood, but against, and then he lists, you know, four different ways of talking about spiritual things. And, you know, there's no end of trouble if you want. There's a message by a man named Rick Renner that I listened to, which I thought was really good. It's called The Final Word, or The Most Important Word. Look it up on YouTube, and he'll talk to you about all the different things that those four descriptions of spiritual realities talk about. But all I want to say to you is, you're hated by the devil and all his minions. You're hated. You're absolutely hated. And if you don't clue into this, you will have trouble in your walk down here. You are opposed. You are opposed. I find it very easy to draw conclusions about myself. Oh, the reason why this is happening is I'm just, you know, so lazy and I'm not that. And I rarely think of, because I'm opposed. There is somebody who wants me to keep my mouth shut and not say what God says. I see the effect of it or the activity, but draw the wrong conclusion. I think it's just because I'm an idiot, when in actual fact, I'm opposed. Now, don't get me wrong. I can be an idiot. There's no question about that. I can be disobedient. But what is essential to see is you are not a Christian in a neutral environment. You are not a servant of the Lord wanting the will of God in a friendly territory. You aren't. That's what he's drawing our attention to. Our struggle is not against natural things. And if you listen to that message by Rick Renner, one of the things you'll find out here is when he talks about struggle and wrestle, or our different ways of different translations put it, excuse me, he was actually saying something in the Greek that the people who he was saying to would be very familiar with. See, back in that time, sport had a bit more of a violent flavor to it, and I'm understating it. You know, you think about boxing here, right? People have gloves on and all that sort of stuff. Well, boxing back then sometimes was to the death. This was what you went down on Friday night to see. It was to the death. There are three sports that were involved. Boxing, wrestling, and something called pankration. Pankration. So boxing, as this man describes, I tried to research and I can find some evidence for it. They would wrap their fists with leather, and then the leather would have spikes in it. Okay? They were not after points. how many times you can hit the body. They were after killing each other. And the thing I find really disturbing is that was entertainment. Okay? Wrestling was not merely put the guy on the back. It was do whatever is necessary to get him to give up, including break his fingers. In some countries, you were allowed to gouge out the eyes, but most countries you weren't. It was a very violent, bloody thing. And then to top it all off, they had the pankration, which was take all of that and take it up an extra level. Pankration means all power. So take everything you got and go at it. Clubs, whatever. Well, Rick Renner says clubs. But certainly, I haven't been able to verify that. I don't mean to say that he's wrong. But it was like a different level of combat. This was entertainment. Okay? And he uses that word, the word for that kind of combat, when he says, we do not struggle with flesh and blood. Sometimes when we use that word struggle, that can just mean, you know, it's an inconvenient day. It's difficult for me. I'm having a tough day today. And we don't necessarily think in terms of a violent opposition that will do whatever it takes to get me to give up. Okay? Yes, there are hierarchies of spiritual beings, fine and dandy, but that doesn't change the fact that we have a struggle against opposition. And if you don't understand your life this way, then none of this will make sense. Okay? This will just be an extra. You know, there are certain things that, how should I put it? There is a depth to the things of God, isn't there? You can find out that God loves you, and then later on find out, actually, God really loves you. And then later on find out, God just loves you. And each time is a different encounter with the depth of the love of God. Right? I know people who've been delivered just by God saying, I love you, in the midst of very difficult circumstances. I would want an explanation. But God comes and says, I love you. And it changes everything. There is a depth to what it means to be forgiven. Right? I don't know what your experience of forgiveness has been in growing up in the Lord. But I know for me, it started off with a place of, oh, I'm forgiven. But continued in the thought, but I better watch my step. I could not conceive of a forgiveness that was so thorough and so deep that it could go beyond my next sin. And so I've had experiences in the forgiveness of God that have taken me from, oh, I hope I make it, to, I do not accept any turmoil as if it's coming from God, because God is not against me. All my sins are as far away as the east is from the west. That's not a human idea, right? And it's not even a New Testament idea. And so there's depths to these things, right? There are some things that are for more advanced Christians, if I could put it that way. And all I mean by that is they have gone a little bit deeper in the Lord. This is not one of them. What we're talking about here is not for the advanced Christian. It is for every single person who belongs to the Lord. From the youngest of us, the moment any of our kids have said yes to the Lord, this applies for them. To the oldest of us. It doesn't matter who you are. This is the truth of your life, and you have to come to grips with it. Okay? You with me? So he talks about there being an opposition. But that's not the point of my message. My point of the message is, what God is really saying is, look, there is an opposition, so do this. Okay? He's not just saying, oh man, you better be more serious than you're talking about, because there's a really bad opposition. I hope you make it. That is not what he is saying here. Okay? I take you back to what the beginning of this passage says. Finally, here's how it all works. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That is not optional. I don't care where you are in the Lord. I don't care what responsibilities you have or don't have. This is not optional. If you are going to finish your course, if you are going to accomplish what God has said, leave even that aside. If you're going to grow in your devotion to the Lord, this is not optional. Okay? This passage of Scripture, inasmuch as you know, it's kind of interesting to talk about, what is a breastplate? And oh, it covers your chest, and a helmet covers your head, and all that. And there's lots of treasures to glean from all of that. At the end of the day, it's not about the specific pieces of armor. That's not what God is saying. What God is saying is, I am all this to you. Put me on. I am all these things to you. You face a struggle that is beyond your ability to cope. So, the most important thing in your life, the most essential aspect of what it means to be who you are, is this: put me on every day. All the time. This is how you must live. Because you're not a match for what is against you. On the flip side, it is not a match for me, says the Lord. There is not to be a sense here, yeah, sometimes we'll win, sometimes we won't win, coming from this passage. Rather, there is a soberness being set before us. Don't be so naive about your life and what's going on in it. You have someone who's against you. Okay, it might not be the top level demon who's ruling over Canada or whatever, however you want to see it. It might be some piddly little thing. But you must overcome it. And if you're going to overcome it, you're not going to find the strength in yourself. You're not going to find the strength in yourself. It's in me. So he says, for our struggle, verse 12. Okay? Sorry, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, or let me put it differently. Put on God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against all these things. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Okay, so let's boil that down. Again, I'm not too concerned about the specifics of the spiritual forces as long as you accept I am opposed. And as you go on in the Lord, you'll be opposed by different things. But the solution is still the same. The Lord is my light. He is my strength. He is my righteousness. Each piece of this armor that's described, and he's describing something. You know, Roman soldiers had a kit that they had to wear. Okay? And it meant that once they had that kit on, they were ready for their battle. So by all means, we need to be aware of those pieces. But what God is really saying to you is this: I am your righteousness. I am your strength. I am the God of your salvation. The helmet of salvation? You really think it's a piece of equipment? God says, I am the God of your salvation. Your righteousness, where does it come from? Piece of metal on your chest that guards your heart? I don't know about you. I have had experiences where I know everything there is to know about righteousness and still feel condemned. In fact, it's kind of funny. You, oftentimes, the people who will stand and say, and this is not wrong, but it is worth noting, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, are usually the ones who feel condemned. That's why they're saying it. Right? But when you begin to realize, actually, God himself is my righteousness, not my behavior, not what I've done. He himself is my peace. He himself, that's what he's describing here. Okay? Gird your loins with truth. Everything that you and I are called to be involved with, we are called to be involved with it because it is true. God is the God who does not lie. So if he says, by his wounds you've been healed, which is something that is opposed in our life, is it not? Why did God say it? Because it's true. Right? It's not what we wish would be true. It's not, this is our political stand. This is where what we lean towards. No. God comes and says stuff that is just true. Everything that God says to us is truth. We don't have to wonder, is this, like, maybe will this work, will this not work? If God said it, it must be so. That's where we start. Gird your loins with the fact that that God cannot lie. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. He himself is my righteousness. He, with his blood, paid for my sins. And the blood of Jesus is now speaking better things than the blood of Abel was crying out for. Remember that passage from Hebrews chapter 12? He paints a picture. The blood of Abel, what did it cry out for? Do you remember? God came to Cain and said, the blood of your brother is crying out to me. Vengeance! Vengeance! Avenge me! But the blood of Jesus is saying, justified. He is the God of our righteousness. Everywhere I go, God wants salvation. Why? Because this is who He is. There is not a circumstance that you are involved with or experience or is happening to you that God is not thinking about salvation. I don't mean somebody gets born again. Okay? Of course. But His entire thought concerning you and the people that you're involved with is, I want salvation to come and visit this house. I want deliverance. I expect breakthrough. I don't care what's against you. I'm with you. So salvation is what is to happen here. Okay? He paints this picture. And he says, this has to be your way. This has to be your life. Put me on. Why? Because you're going to be opposed by a very ferocious, violent, vile enemy. And what I want is that not only, having done all of this stuff, you're standing firm. You're standing firm. And again, I'll refer to Rick Renner. He says the way that that phrase is translated is what God is trying to get across to you is this. Not, oh, what a struggle. But I'm still standing. I'm still standing. I haven't given in. That's not what he is saying. What he is saying is, I want you to see how God sees you. You won. Having put God on, you get to the destination that God has already appointed. You win. You win. God is not saying, it's rough out there, so put some clothes on. You might still get wet. That is not what he's trying to say. What he's saying is, it's terrible out there, so you need me, and you'll win. And you'll win. So, I pray that the Lord helps us to hear, I cannot afford to not be strong in the Lord. Being strong in the Lord is not for somebody else, some super duper, as we might say. It is for little old me. Little, frail, backward-thinking me is called to be strong in the Lord. So how do I do that? How do I do that? Can you turn to Psalm 27? We'll begin to end here. Okay, so do you understand? We're not looking for a hat to put on. Okay? I have the helmet of salvation on. I mean, on the one hand, if that sort of thing helps you, I'm not trying to say don't do it, but it is less than I have a piece of equipment on. Equipment is not what we need. This is all a description of who God Himself is to us. Right? Psalm 27. You're there before me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me, to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. What is this man doing? Or this woman, as the case may be. He's putting God on. Okay? This psalm ends, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Now that word wait is not what we might imagine it says. He is not saying be patient. Okay, wait it out. Wait it out. Be patient. This might take some time. Just wait it out. Just stick it out. Just hang on. That is not what he's saying. The idea that is used here in wait, I don't know why they use it translated in English as wait. I guess there is this passage of time, but the idea here is be braided together with God. Okay? I think everybody knows passages from Scripture that say a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Right? The idea of even though you're weak, if you're braided together with something that's stronger, the net result is you can take the load. Because it's not actually you who's taking the load, right? So wherever you find, not everywhere, there are places where God means, just hang on. Like, I don't mean like cling on, I mean just wait, just be patient. Okay. But here, what he's saying is, be braided. This is going to take time, fine, but in that time, be braided together with God. So what I want to get across to you is, when he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, what he's really saying is, you need to begin to declare who God is to you and for you as a practice. Not just as a worship service in the mornings on a Sunday, but as your way of life. Especially when everything is coming against you. I thank you, Father, you are my righteousness, that you are judging me not on the basis of what I do right or wrong, but on the basis of what Jesus did for me. And I just thank you that you are for me in the midst of all of this. My prayers are heard before you, not because I have become a super duper, but because Jesus is everything. He is the intercessor. He is the one who has gone before us and made a way. He gave me his name to use. So I'm asking as if it was Jesus, not me. And it has to be more than, I'm not a woman, but I understand that in the mornings, even men have their routines. You know, you shave, you have that time in the morning where you make yourself presentable and off you go to work. You don't keep shaving at work. At least most of us don't. Okay? Women get their face on, as it were, and they're ready for the day. They go out. And sometimes you touch it up. I understand that. But it's not like every moment you're putting lipstick on. Right? This has to be every moment. When does God have to be your strength? All the time. There's not a moment that I'm not hated. There's not a moment that the devil is not scheming up some crooked thing to trip me up. There's not a moment. And I will admit to you, and you can speak for yourself, I give him lots of fodder. I give him lots of stuff to work with where I'm lazy or I don't do what I say or I let my mouth speak whatever I feel. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so I say something that comes out of a lack of faith or a lack of belief, and I give the devil an opportunity. I give my adversary lots of opportunities. But God is greater. But God is greater. He is better. He is bigger. And he says, put me on. Put me on. Put me on. Okay? So, I would like, I think we're basically, so do you have something you want to say or? Okay. Okay, so perfect. We have a time. So my dad apparently has fallen down and he's not well. And he's being taken to the hospital. So I'm going to obviously have to go and deal with that sort of stuff. But we're going to pray. Okay. God is to us our refuge. God is to us our defense and our shield. God is to us our righteousness. Our entire expectation of salvation in every circumstance is that this is who God is. And he is with us. He is for us. And this must be our way. Okay? So tomorrow morning, put God on. And then tomorrow at lunchtime, put him on again. And tomorrow in the afternoon, when you find out that the devil has managed to do something against you, put him on again. This is not for a Sunday morning or a Monday morning or two. It has to be our life. This is what God is getting at. Everything that has been said before in the book of Ephesians will not benefit you to the way God wants it to benefit in your experience and in your plans and in your expectations if you don't put him on. So put him on. God is no match. Sorry, the devil is no match for God. He just isn't. Just even ask in those contexts is irrelevant. So put him on. Amen? We are to be like God going into every circumstance because we put God on. Father, we just present ourselves in Jesus' name. I give thanks that you are our righteousness. You are our shield. You are the shield about us. You are our favor. You are our victory. You are everything for us. I ask you, Father, to help us as a church and as individuals in the church and anyone who hears this, wherever they are, that you would help them, Father, to begin to take up what you're telling us. That we cannot succeed in this place on our own, in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own understanding. I thank you for every bit of knowledge that we've gained, every bit of doctrine that we've come to understand. I thank you for your stabilizing our lives, but we want to confess and declare we can do nothing apart from you. And this is our whole life, to be involved with you. So I ask you to help us today and in these days that are coming, that we would be those who are putting you on. And you are everything that we need. You are everything that we need. I thank you that every battle that we face, you've already appointed us to win. So as we move into prayer, please stand with me in praying for my dad. But I also want you to stand with me in praying for Marian. Okay? He's still in a very grave circumstance, and we are working. I think the issue here is that we're simply opposed. But God has authority even over that, and we can take authority over those things. Okay? Any other circumstances you want to make everybody else aware of that we can stand with you? Okay? We'll continue to pray for Rachel. We'll pray for the people who are normally here but that aren't. Okay?